Exodus. And I want to illustrate through the life of the children of Israel, the Hebrew nation that was in captivity there in Egypt. I want to show how God is calling this people to an elevated serve. So for our topic today, I want to use this topic, True Service to the True God. A subtitle, A People Called to Elevate Their Serve. A people called to elevate their serve. In Exodus 3 and verse number 10, let's start at verse number 10. Exodus 3 and verse number 10. This is Moses as he is at the burning bush and God is speaking to him. And he says, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. Now I want you to really focus on verse 12. So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God. And I want to underscore the word serve. This is my message today, that you shall serve God on this mountain. And Moses said to God, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel, say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. They say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. A people called to elevate their serve. The word serve is used over 15 times between chapters 3 and chapters 10. It's amazing how often this word serve is highlighted. When you look at the word serve, you will see that it has a negative connotation as well as one that is positive. Because of the definition of serve from the Hebrew, it simply means to enslave, keep one in bondage, a servant through forced labor. Now that's whenever you see the word serve, from a negative connotation, that's what you see. But this word serve is also used positively. It simply means to become a servant, but it's through voluntary means of the individual. It is a word that is used for a worker. If one is a servant or serving voluntarily, that means that he is working. And it also means that he is a worshiper. So as we go through our lesson today, I want you to see how this word serve and the people of God served under the Egyptians. Then secondly, I want you to see how that God has called his people from the service of the Egyptians to the service of himself. So thus my two points. I'm going to look at their service while in Egypt. Go with me. When you look at Exodus chapter 1 and verse number 13, the Bible clearly shows us how that this idea of service was part of the life of the Israelites in Egypt. The Bible says, so the Egyptians made the children of Israel serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage, in mortar, in brick, in all manner of service in the field. All their service in which they made them serve was with rigor. This idea of serving in Egypt, it was a service of bondage, enslavement. It was with rigor, which simply means that it was to a breaking point. They served until they broke their back, served until they fractured them, served with severity, served the Egyptians under cruel treatment. When I look at this idea of the service of Israel under the Egyptian, I believe that this is used as a metaphor of how men today serve in the world. Egypt is a type of the world. We work diligently. We serve in the world. But it's very much the same as our service, or the service of the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. This idea of service of the children of Israel in Egypt was for the pleasure of Pharaoh and for the pleasure of the Egyptians. There was nothing for the people of God to gain themselves from their work and from their service. It was all about enriching Pharaoh. It was all about enriching and improving the great nation of Egypt. These individuals in their servitude understood they were in a nation, in a place where idolatry was very prevalent. In Egypt, there were over 2,000 different gods that they served. These gods, they gave power to these gods, the power of fertility, the power that also gave life and gave them their being. Instead of them knowing that there is one true God, they gave their allegiance, Egyptians, to all of these man-made idol gods and goddesses. Well, you got about 2 million Hebrews serving in Egypt. May I hasten to say to you, you and I need to understand that service in the world is just as bad as their service was even in Egypt. You working on a job, but I got news for you. You're merchandise to them. You're there to help build that company. You're there to make sure that they're enriched. Now, I know you say, well, I got benefits, but I'm going to tell you, they wouldn't give them to you if they weren't made. I'm just trying to tell you that the world in which we live is a very selfish world. And it really does not have us in mind as individuals in our welfare. They'll use you. And then when they break you, then they'll find somebody else to work that job that you call yourself working on. I'm here to tell you, some of us need to understand that the children of Israel served with no benefits. They served with no sick days, served with no vacation days, had no health insurance, had no retirement or benefits. This is a picture of us today. Don't you know that the devil is a Pharaoh? The devil is the prince of this world. Sin and the world itself is not for us. It is against us. You and I, in our service, we don't get anything for it. You know, when I think in terms of this idea of serving, Bible said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Now this is what's interesting. Said the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abides forever. I like to compare working in the world the same as playing the game of Monopoly. Have you ever played Monopoly? Have you ever played Monopoly? Monopoly is a game of life. And they give you money, but it's fake money. Then you roll dice. The luck of the dice is how you determine how you move around the board. You buy property, and then you rent it out, and you know. But at the end of the game, all that paper money is nothing. All of what you've done, tell the truth about it. It's just a game. I'm here to tell you that if you're working and serving in the world, it's just a game. I'm here to tell you that all that you get is nothing but fake. The Bible said if you brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that you're going to take nothing out of it. This world is nothing but a game. They're just using you. I'm glad to know that God from above sees how people have cataracts on their eyes, how people are blinded by the world. God came to save Israel, and he's come to save us as well. It's all about service. What's interesting is that when God came to Egypt, and I'm moving to point number two, and that means that I'm close to being finished. But I want you to understand this. When God came to Moses, you may have missed it, but watch what he does. In chapter 3 and verse number 12, he said, "Certainly, I will be with you. This shall be a token to thee." And I want you to see this again. "That I have sent thee when thou hast brought forth," watch this, "when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain." God is simply saying, when I deliver them, I want them to be delivered in order that they may serve me. I know that you served in Egypt, but I want you to come out of Egypt, and I want you to serve me. When I saw the word serve, I said, that's our theme. And I just started following this idea of service and how many times God brought it to Moses' attention. Then I went to Exodus chapter 4. Moses, after having been at the burning bush, he has to go to his father Jethro, his father-in-law Jethro, and let him know, God has called me to go back to Egypt. Look with me, Exodus 4 and verse number 18. Now I want you to follow this, Exodus 4 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "So Moses went and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law, said to him, 'Please let me go and return to my brethren who are in Egypt, see whether they are still alive.' Jethro said to Moses, 'Go in peace.'" Now the Lord, watch this, after Jethro said to him, "Go in peace," then the Lord came and spoke to him again. Verse number 19, "The Lord said to Moses in Midian, go, return to Egypt, for all the men who sought your life are dead. Then Moses took his wife, his son, set them on a donkey, and he returned to the land of Egypt. Moses took the rod of God in his hand." And then I want to drop down to verse number 23. And watch what the Bible says. "So I say to you," he said, well, let's go to 22. "Then you shall say to Pharaoh," watch this, "Israel is my son, my firstborn. So I say to you," now this is God telling Moses what to tell Pharaoh. "So I say to you, let my son go, that he may," what's the word, "serve me. But if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill your son, your firstborn." Point that I want to make is that God says that I want you to let them go. But I don't want them to just go. I want them to go that they may serve me. When God met him at the burning bush, told him, I want to deliver them that they may serve me in this mountain. Then when he got ready to leave Midian, God talked to him again. Now I'm going to tell you what to tell Pharaoh. Tell Pharaoh, Israel's my firstborn. Don't let him go that he may serve me. Then I'll destroy your firstborn. I thought that was something. But then watch this. Go with me to Exodus 5 and verse number 1. Now he leaves Midian and he comes and he meets Pharaoh. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 5, afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh. Now what you gonna tell him? You better tell him what God told you. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness. Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, nor will I let Israel go. Make a long story short. Pharaoh added to their labor. Here they are in Egypt, serving Egypt and Pharaoh. When God tell them to let them go, that they may serve me, Pharaoh said, no, I don't know who your God is, and I'm not going to let them go. To be honest about it, he made their labor even harder. He took the straw from their making their brick and told him, you better make the same quota of brick. In other words, in verse number 9, he said, let more work. Look with me, chapter 5, verse number 9. Let more work be laid on the men. And they may labor, that's our word, serve in it. And let them not regard false words. Now he saw them as false words. Moses didn't see it that way. Well, let's drop down to verse number 20. I'm in chapter 5, verse number 20. Now, once Moses tells Pharaoh what God says, then the people have to come and talk to Moses. They're upset because now they got to work harder than they were working before Moses showed up on the scene. Now, watch in verse number 20. The Bible says, as they came out from Pharaoh, they met Moses. Now, these are the children of Israel meeting Moses and Aaron, who stood there to meet them. They said to them, let the Lord look on you and judge, because you have made us abhorrent in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to kill us. In other words, the people are saying to Moses and Aaron, we were better off before you got here. Now we really are in trouble. So watch Moses in verse number 22. So Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble on this people? Why is it that you have sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has done evil to this people. Neither have you delivered your people at all. Now he's questioning God and his timetable. But watch what God says in chapter 6, verse number 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see. May I underscore, now you shall see. Moses, you got cataracts on your eyes. You're not able to see with 20/20 vision. Now I'm going to give you 20/20 vision. Now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand, he will let them go. He will, he said, and with a strong hand, he will drive them out of his land. God spoke to Moses, said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, as God Almighty. But my name, Lord, I was not known to them. I have also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land of their pilgrimage in which they were strangers. And I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage. And I have remembered my covenant. Well, when you consider how that God is responding, God said, I'm going to fix it. And I just want you to follow me now, because I'm on this word, how God wants Israel to come out of bondage that they might serve him. When he goes back to Pharaoh in chapter 7, watch this now. So the Lord said to Moses, see, I'm in verse number 1. See, as God, Pharaoh, I have made you as God to Pharaoh. Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. Then in verse number 3, he said, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, multiply my signs, my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not heed you, so that I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my armies and my people of Egypt, my great judgments. And then after Moses stood there, verse number 7, Moses was 80 years old. Aaron was 83 years old. Now God begins to unfold his mighty power. Now God is going to begin to show the difference between the gods of Egypt and who he is. You said you don't know who I am? Then I'm going to show you who I am. Moses, when you get before Pharaoh, put the rod in your hand on the ground. Became a serpent. Pharaoh's Egypt magicians did the same. Put their rods and they became serpents. Here's what God did. God allowed the serpent of Moses to swallow up all of the serpents that the Egyptians had made. What is God doing? He's showing that I'm God and your gods are no gods at all. Then God told Moses after the incident with the rod, then God told him to go and strike the Nile. And then when you see how he struck the Nile in verse number 14 of chapter 7, the waters became blood. And it was in the sight of all of the children of all of the Egyptians. Now I want you to see something. How that chapter 8, now the Lord spoke to Moses. Now this is after the miraculous rod and then the plague of blood, the Nile being turned into blood. Watch chapter 8, verse number 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, go to Pharaoh, say to him, thus said the Lord, let my people go. Watch this though, that they may what? Serve me. But he will refuse to let them go. But I want to just underscore how that when he went back to Pharaoh, he said, let them go, that they may serve me. Now go with me to verse number 20, chapter 8, and look with me at verse number 20. Now this is after the plague of lice. This is after the plague of frogs. Now God sends him back. And verse number 20, and the Lord said to Moses, he said, rise early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh as he comes out to the water. Now watch what he says to him. Then say to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go, that they may what? Serve me. Now, I think that's interesting. I thought that maybe this idea of service to God was just something that he put in there. But no. When God met him at the burning bush, I want him to serve me. When he got ready to leave Midian, I want you to go and tell Pharaoh, let them go, that they may serve me. After the plague that was on the Nile River, God said to Pharaoh, let them go, that they may serve me. After the plague of frogs, after the plague of lice, after the plague, God tells them, before I send the flies, let them go, that they may serve me. I thought that would be enough. But then when I went to chapter 9 and I looked at verse number 1. God has given another plague, and this time he promises a plague on the livestock. But what he says, then the Lord said to Moses, go in to Pharaoh, tell him, thus said the Lord God of the Hebrews, here it is, let my people go, that they may what? Serve me. He just keeps on saying the same thing over and over again. Drop down to verse number 13 and watch this now. This is after the plague of the livestock and the boils. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh, say to him, thus said the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may what? Serve me. Now, I thought that would be enough, but then I kept on reading, and I saw something else. In chapter 10 and verse number 1, this is coming up on the eighth plague. Now, this is what God says in verse number 1 of chapter 10. Now, the Lord said to Moses, go in to Pharaoh. You notice he just keeps telling him, I want you to have an audience with him and keep telling him, let my people go that they may serve me. But you see, God is a strategic God, and he knows what he's doing. If Pharaoh had let him go on the first time that Moses came, then the Egyptians never would have been able to see the great hand of God on the gods of the Egyptians. God is making a statement that I'm God and there's no other gods beside me. And so in chapter 10 and verse number 1, now the Lord said to Moses, go in to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the hearts of his servants, that I may show these signs of mine before him, and that you may tell in the hearing of your son's son, the mighty things that I have done in Egypt, that my signs which I have done among them, that you may know that I am the Lord. And watch this now. Verse number 3. So Moses and Aaron came in to Pharaoh, said to him, thus said the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go, that they may what? Serve me. Now, I just believe, as I close my lesson, you say, well, Brother Gibbs, why do you just keep reading and saying, because I want you to see how that Moses was consistent. I've read it all these many years, but I never put so much emphasis and seen the emphasis put on serve me. God is going to let them go, but it's not just for themselves. It's all about God. Some of us think that when we serve in the world, that it's all about us. But the world is trying to show you that it's not about you. It's about that company that you're working for. And if you don't believe that, keep on living, and you'll find that what they promised you, some of them will never be able to fulfill. But I know this about God, and that is that if you serve God Almighty, that God will never, never lie to you. God will always keep his promise to you. Serving God is not about you earning anything. It's about God giving to you. And so finally, the Egyptians understand that God is the God of heaven. Notice now, after the 10th plague, when Israel leaves, God has destroyed all of their economy. God has destroyed life in Egypt. Notice his army has been decimated. Notice that all of his military equipment is at the bottom of the Red Sea. And they know that God is God, and they're serving God Almighty. I see with many of us that when we talk about elevating our serve, you think that it's all about you. But I just wanted to stop by this morning and let you know that service to God is not about you. I'm trying to elevate your serve, to stop looking at yourself. I hear people saying, well, Brother Gibbs, I'm just not happy. He didn't call you to be happy. He called you to serve him. Am I right about it? Now, God is the object of our deliverance. God did not send Jesus Christ into the world to save the world and to save you and me in order for you to turn around and have a life that you dictate. God said that when I save you, I'm saving you, that you may come and serve me. And I'm hoping and praying that all of us understand that when you come into God's kingdom and you are saved by God, that is a servitude. It's a voluntary servitude where you serve him and you give God his praise and his honor. It's not just about freedom for you to pursue your personal interests. It's not about attaining your full potential. I hear people saying, well, I just believe that God wants me to fulfill my full potential. Well, I beg to differ about that. Am I right about it? God didn't make me and create me and not want me to fulfill my potential. He put all of these talents and all of these things in me. I'm here to tell you reason that God brought you into this world, not for you to fulfill your potential, but that you would serve him and do what God wants you to do. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, you just don't know. I've been married for 15 years, and I'm not happy yet. This man ain't made me. He ain't asked you to marry in order to be happy. He told you that I want you to serve me. Am I right about it? Somebody say, well, I'm trying to raise my children where my children can experience and explore all of the things that the world has to offer them. I want them to take advantage of basketball, football, baseball, and I want them to learn how to play the piano, and I want them to learn this and that. I need them to be able to excel in this world. Don't you know you ain't doing nothing but playing Monopoly with those children? Am I right about it? Lord, the world ain't gonna give them anything. Am I right about it? That the world will take them and fracture them and put them back in society broken. Am I right about it? But if a man would turn around, serve God with all of his heart, serve God, give God all that he has, God will take him out of Egypt. God will take him across the Red Sea. God will give him the land of Canaan. God will give him grace. God will give him mercy. God will take care of his own. Am I right about it? Oh, Lord, have mercy. I know I shouldn't have preached like that, but I'm trying to tell you, God is a good master. Am I right about it? Serve God with all your heart and all your soul. Amen. 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 I done spit over everything. Am I right about it? Am I right about it? Amen. Amen. You know I'm telling the truth. Serve God. Serve God. Don't bring those children up thinking that they got to make the best of this world. No, you bring them up serving God.
Amen.
Don't make football better, more important than being here in the worship service. You tell them, no, we're going to worship this morning. Some of you painting your nails and amen, and getting yourself all fixed up and doing it up. Amen, but that's all right. I amen. But that's all you're doing. That's all you're doing. You painting over something that's rotten in there, am I right about it? Come on now, talk back to me. You're serving something that's not going to last. Am I right about it? Oh, I really messed up then. Amen, sisters, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But you're just fixing up on the old houses already on his way back. Am I right about it? Dye your hair if you want to, am I right about it? But it's still, amen, gray. Amen, amen, amen. This world is bringing me on back, am I right about it? Just let me know, he ain't gonna give me anything in this world. But if I serve God Almighty, God will turn around and give me a new body. God will give me a new house, am I right about it? Oh, that's what serving God means. Now, I know. I got it beside myself. Let me catch my breath. I have 9 grandchildren. I have 9 grandchildren. I want all those children to be the best in life. Shame on us if I don't teach them. Their parents don't teach them. They must serve God.
Amen.
Serving God is more important than anything in this world. I've lived, I'm coming toward the end of my ministry here from after 40 years. You know, 2021 will be 40 years that I have preached in this pulpit. And that's an accomplishment. But let me tell you, God over the 40 years has shown me something. When I came, I was 30 years old. I didn't have but two children. They were babies. They were babies. They were cute. Cute little babies. Maybe three. I had three. That's what I had. I had three. But they're all little children. I'm telling you this for a reason. I taught those children to serve God. One is a principal. One is a social studies coordinator for the city or the independent school district of Dallas. Another is a social worker. My son right now is an attorney, but he's trying to become a judge. I want you to hear my story. 40 years, I look and I see how God has worked in the life of Sister Gibbs and I. Our life has not been rosy.
Come on, tell it.
We got ups and downs. We have our own challenges.
Sure, you're right.
But I've seen how God, I'm just giving my testimony. I've seen how God has, through us serving him, has held us together for 48 years through the ups and the downs. Watch how God works in the life of all my children. Here's what I've taught them. You may be an attorney, but you're a servant of God. Don't be trying to be no judge and forget that you're a servant.
Amen.
God. You may be in the school system, but you are a servant of God in the school system. When Sherilyn goes and ministers in hospice situations to people who are dying, he gave her a skill that she knows how to minister through her skill, but she knows she's a servant of God before she goes in. All I'm simply saying, I ain't preaching something that's a theory.
Amen.
I know what I'm talking about. And I'm like Job. If he takes everything that he's given me, I will still say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I don't say this for the older people. I'm saying this for the young people. You young people who are listening to me, I'm asking you, serve God. Make that your highest priority and then look back over your life 40 years later and see what God has done. Now that's my testimony. Now I don't know about anybody else's, but that's just mine. And I pray that we'll all elevate our serve, giving God higher praise and worship. Ensuring that our worship is pleasing to Almighty God. If you're here, you've heard the word, You believe it with all of your heart? Will you repent of your sin? Will you confess Christ to be the Son of God? Will you be buried with him in the water grave of baptism? Will you come to Christ? Will you come to Christ knowing that he saved you in order that you might serve him?
Amen.
Not yourself. It's not about us. It's about him.
Amen.
Give your life to him. I don't know. Maybe I said too much. Maybe I did. But it's all right. It's out there now. It's out there now. You know, sometimes when you do stuff like that, folk try to throw rocks at you and they hit you and they do this and that. Throw them if you want to, but that's all right. I still love God Almighty. Am I right about it? He's a good God to me. So will you come to Jesus? Come right now. While together we stand and sing, will you come?
Number 758. 758. To the harvest fields I will gladly go, in the service of my King, with the song of love to the faith and low, in the service of my King. Well, in the service of my King, in the service of my King. Joy beyond compare in the service of my King. Let me ever work with a willing hand in the service of my King, guided by word, heeding his command, in the service of my King. Well, in the service of my King, in the service of my King, it is glory. Compare in the service of my King.